All right, people, this is Christina Avina with Rock on Request, and I am speaking today with Shim from Sick Puppies. I am truly excited about talking to you today.
Oh, thanks. Cool.
So, you know, let's talk about, well, there are, of course, a million things to talk about here today, but let's talk about your new release coming up on the 14th, Tripolar.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Let's do that, because I've had it now in my hot hands for some time, and I love it. Really enjoying it so far. Tell me about, you know, the comparison, I guess, of this record to, you know, the last record is going to be, you know, really torn apart, I guess, maybe by the media because of your success of the last one. So why don't you give me the lowdown on your feeling about this album and, like, maybe how it compares to the last and what you really are excited about.
Well, that's the funny thing, man. Everyone in the media seems to be making a big deal about the sophomore effort, but no one in the band, no one in the record label, no one, you know, we didn't sell enough records as far as we were concerned to be like, to have that sort of sophomore curse. We just did the record we wanted to make, and we wanted to make a record that was a big sounding record, which ironically, apparently, is a really good way to follow up.
Right, right.
Curse record. So I'm like, I don't know, man. We just made a record that we felt really good about. I mean, hopefully there's some hit songs on there. You're Going Down's already, woo, big truck, love Van Nuys. We didn't really think about it too much. We just made a record that we thought would be really good on festival stages.
Well, you know, let me tell you, that's definitely been accomplished. And, you know, for me, you know, I guess you could say I'm the media, technically. But I don't look at albums the way some of the media does. And my thing, I guess, would be not necessarily a sophomore curse, but you had a hit with All the Same that everybody has heard, everybody has seen the video. And, you know, I guess, obviously, as an artist, you know that you're going to be, you know, have your music and any other videos thrown up against that thing that was so powerful for that, you know, last record.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's just going to happen regardless whether you care about it or want it to or not. So, you know, I think personally, from what I've listened to, this record definitely is a kind of in-your-face rockin' record. That's the best way I could put it.
That's a good way. That's a good way to put it.
Is that what you were trying to do with this record?
Yeah, definitely. We were trying to do a more aggressive record, something heavier. Not necessarily heavy. I mean, it wound up being heavier in some regards, but just a bigger sounding record, you know.
Right.
Like,
well, you know, you have your Going Down is going to be, what, the theme song for the Extreme Rules WWE, is that correct?
That's right.
That's pretty kick-ass, and, you know,
it's pretty big, man. It's like, it's a big song. I think it's a big, epic sort of theme that the WWE does, so I think the song goes well with it. I mean, we tried to make the biggest song we could, and it seemed to appeal to them. They liked it, so we were lucky.
You know what I'm excited about? Because I noticed this, too, with hockey this past year, and I don't know if you are a hockey fan, but I am out here. My team was almost right there in the Stanley Cup, so damn it, they lost. But, you know, they play a lot of rock music at the hockey games. And that was something I was kind of excited about because, you know, generally other sports, a lot of times we use hip-hop and things like that. But, you know, more credit goes to WWE now in hockey for really getting those hard rock songs out there and listened to.
That's true. I heard that War actually was played on a hockey game somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure it was. They play a lot of really great stuff. You know, I mean, it's a battling kind of sport, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, now you also have another song that's going to be, what is it, part of Street Fighter coming out?
Street Fighter, the ad campaign for Street Fighter that happened a couple of months ago. We wrote the theme song for the ad campaign.
Is that, that's War, correct?
Yeah, that was War.
I love that song, too. I mean, to me, so far as I've heard, there isn't a bad track on the record, and you can find something, I think, for everybody and every one of your fans and for people who have never heard you before that are going to love it.
That's good. That's what we try to do, man.
Well, there you go. So let me ask you this. Now, I read something about the Rock Prophecies movie that's going to be coming out. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what your involvement is?
No, that's a film that we were invited to be a part of by Robert Knight, who's a rock and roll photographer. He did he photographed Jimi Hendrix before there was Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, before there were Led Zeppelin and a lot of influential, you know, iconic figures. invited us to come over to the States, you know, before we had a record deal or anything, because he liked the band. And he introduced us to everyone and helped us get a record deal. And then when he was making World Prophecies, which is really just sort of a biography of his life and the people that he's worked with, he asked us to be in this film because he believed in us. He thought we were going to go places, and he wanted to have the journey documented in the film, which luckily coincided well, because around the time when they started filming was when we were finishing our album.
Right.
So we gave him some old footage, and then they filmed us out on the road and stuff, and they put together Rock Prophecies. And it's been really lucky because it's got Steve Vai and Jeff Beck and everything, and a lot of people in this film, and then we're in it. Because of how many big rock stars are in it, Samsung actually came on board and offered to, you know, sort of help promote the film. And then they also decided to help promote Sick Copies, so they're helping us out with this tour, and they partnered up with us for the headlining tour we're doing with Hurt over the summer.
Wow, that's very cool. What an experience.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, man.
Well, where is this movie going to be able to be seen? How is the public going to get a hold of us?
You can go to rockprophecies.com, and all the details are up there, man. You guys are in front of your computers right now, man. Just go and check it out.
Sweet. I'll go ahead and put a link to that, too, with the article when we put it online, so that'll be very cool.
Excellent. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, let me ask you this, because I wanted to talk to you about your fan base for a second, who I know will all be listening to this. It's very, very dedicated, and believe me, I've talked to other bands who have these huge fan bases from all over the world, but, you know, I think there are certain bands that their fans kind of set themselves apart, and I would describe the World Crew as one of those fan bases.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, what do you think kind of is the difference between being a fan or a part of the World Crew of Sick Puppies as opposed to maybe some other bands, street teams that go on out there? I mean, what brings you guys closer together with your fans?
Honestly, man, we just like to spend time with them. But there's no real secret. I think we just, maybe they, I don't know, man, like a lot of people in the World Crew mention how much the lyrics are relevant to them, and I think that might be one thing that's cool. I think it's everything. I mean, I put a lot of effort into connecting with the audiences when we play live. I think that helps a little. Emma's very iconic as a female bass player. I think that helps a little. We're a very powerful band when we play live. We try to put as much energy into it as we can, all three of us. I think that helps a little. But really, it's mostly just after the shows. We just want to hang out with them and say thank you and get them backstage and hang out and, you know, give them a Coke from the rider or whatever and just make them feel good. And I think when they feel good, they want to help us, you know, promote it so other people get to into the band. Because what happens is, I think you get a sense of ownership of it.
Right.
I feel like if you've helped the band get a certain show or get a certain ad or get a certain anything, it's, you know, they're a part of it with us, and that's really the point. It's all anyone wants in life is to be a part of something.
Absolutely, and I really love that about music today and about the fans actually getting to feel like they're part of what's happening, you know, because, you know, when I was going to concerts when I was young, which that's a long time ago, trust me. We didn't have that. It was kind of like the band is on the stage and that's the last time you see them. You don't really hang out with them or bond with them, you know?
Yeah.
Now
we go to the merch desk after every show.
Well, that's awesome. I really like to hear that. And if you could turn back the clock and say there was a band that you went to go see when you were younger and you would like to, like, have been able to hang out with, like, your fans hang out with you, who would that band be?
It's probably Incubus.
Ah, good choice.
The Incubus or Rage.
I like that.
Incubus.
Very good choices.
I think just because we took a lot of influence. I mean, there are some bands that are very spectacular and stuff, but when you take influence from a band, but also in some ways, sometimes you think maybe you don't want to because you'll get disappointed.
Right, that's true, too. That's true, too. I mean, everyone's just human, you know, you guys.
Yeah.
Fans, I think, tend to put you guys on a pedestal, but, you know, I've met enough artists in my time to know that you're people, and everyone has their good days and their bad days. And
yeah, everyone's got issues, man. People in bands are more fucked up than the rest of us.
that's true in a lot of cases, but it's like anything, you know, everyone should be entitled to have their bad days, but when you're someone that people really look to for inspiration, I guess they almost don't feel like you're allowed, like you always have to be on. Does that kind of suck?
Does it kind of, are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yeah, it sucks. Of course it sucks. it's more effort than, the reason you get into being in a band is because you want to do the least amount of work possible.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
You don't want to be working an 8-hour day and then you get into a band and you're working a 24-hour day, because the moment anyone is looking at you or talking to you, you got to make sure you're not swearing at that exact moment or saying something wrong or whatever, or using a bad word or anything.
Right.
But and it's hard for me because I fucking swear all the fucking time. I just like to do weird things, and I can't anymore. It's kind of strange.
Well, you know what? It's sad though, because artistic people, I'm sorry, but they're just like that. They all are.
Oh God, what the hell? I happened to be parked in the one spot where that car decided to screech.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, artistic people in general, from all the people that I talk to in this industry, you know, when you're creative like that, I mean, I don't know many of them who don't let loose and do weird shit and cuss and like to have fun. I mean, that's kind of where it's all at. I think if fans can't handle that, I don't know, they need to check themselves somewhere.
That's the thing, like, if you try and please everyone, you'll inevitably wind up pleasing nobody.
Right.
And people are much more drawn to conviction than anything else.
That's true. I like honesty.
It's like, conviction is contagious.
Right.
Believe in something, people can't help but believe in it, even if you're wrong. They'll get attracted to your energy.
Wow, you know, that's a really great quote. I like that a lot. You don't even realize that you just said something profound, do you?
What did I say?
No, just about the conviction being, drawing you, even if you're not right, you know, people will be drawn to that and believe you if you believe in it yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's very nice. I like that. Well,
good, thanks.
You're brilliant. Well, let me tell you this.
Awesome, thanks.
There you go. Well, let's talk about your touring this summer, because you briefly mentioned it, but you have some dates coming up with a lot of people. Man, you have Three Doors Down, 10 Years, Papa Roach, and then more starting in August. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
About the dates that we've done or the dates that we're doing?
Well, how about both? Let's talk about some.
More trucks. Fuck this, I'm moving. This is retarded. I walked all the way out here so I could get somewhere quiet, and there's fucking trucks everywhere. What the fuck? They're all fucking huge trucks. It's like a 24, and it's carrying like beer in kegs that are just rattling around. I'm like, fucking noise.
The loudest possible truck in the whole city, right?
I can't believe it. Like, it's Van Nuys. It's Van Nuys. It's like people come here to die. What the fuck?
I love it. You're making me miss California. You know that?
Say what?
You're making me miss California. That's where I'm from.
The singer Maynard from Tool called it a one big festering neon cesspool.
Well, you know what? I'm on the East Coast now, but, you know, strange enough, hearing all that makes me a little homesick, and I don't know why.
Yeah, where the weak come to die and the strong go to feed.
Exactly. Damn. All right, well, so about those concerts.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, the summer tour.
Papa Roach taught me a lot about how to be a better frontman. Breaking Benjamin taught us a lot about a big sound. Evanescence taught us how to treat people when you're on the road, especially how to treat the supporting acts.
Right.
They treated us very well. Three Doors Down, they were just cool. And I want to hear the story in a minute. Okay, I'm still on this. Just give me a sec.
No problem.
What else? Who else did we tour? Flyleaf were great. They taught us how to prank bands at the end of every tour.
Very cool.
And the next shows that we're doing are with Hurt and, Vera Union. I can't wait to fuck with those guys. So, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how it's going to be. It'll be a fun tour. I'm a lot more reclusive now than I used to be, though, so I don't know how much hanging out I'm going to do.
Well, I'll tell you, that next tour is going to be really great because, you know, you've got Vera Union, Hurt, yourselves, and then Adelita's Way, so it's going to be a really... kick-ass rock tour. I love it. And you guys are going to come through my area, so I'm hoping to go check that out.
Yeah, you should come, man.
Definitely. Well, I'm going to talk to your people, and we'll work it out. But, you know, I know you got to...
Your people and
my people will get together on that.
Yeah.
Hopefully I have some people, but we'll find out. But at any rate...
And we actually talked about it between us.
There you go. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you guys have a lot going on right now, and we got this whole... tragedy thing going on today, but I'm going to let you wrap up real quick with the same thing everyone does when we finish, and you get the choice of you can ask me a question, anything under the sun, or not ask me a question. So you get to turn the tables.
I can ask you a question, or I can what?
You can ask me a question or not. It's up to you.
Okay. The most disgusting thing, like not disgusting as in personally offensive thing anyone has said to you in an interview.
Okay, I got that on lockdown. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to know who it was or just what they said?
I want to know who it was,
okay,
in what context it was, and precisely what was said.
Okay, here we go. And we are not censored, so we're cool. All right.
Cool.
It was the lead singer from Senses Fail. That would be Buddy. This was during an interview, and he kind of has a reputation for being a dick.
Yeah.
He held true to that during the interview. He was just kind of pissy and didn't want to be there, and it was cool. We were trying to get through it. And when I asked him, and this wasn't my line of questions. I was actually there interviewing for someone else, and they had given me sort of their list of questions, you know, which I hate to do. And they asked something about what was the most disgusting thing on his tour bus at that moment. And his answer was, it's probably the shirt that I used to jack off in, that, you know, that kind of thing. Can't remember exactly the context of every word he said, but he was just trying to kind of like get a rise out of me, I think. And was very graphic about it, and I'm not easily offended, so it really didn't offend me the way I think he wanted it to. But I think it was just the fact that he was trying to really dig deep just to kind of be himself. So that stands out in memory for me.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though. I mean, I'm sure everyone has one of those.
If you're going to try and offend someone, you could do better than that, though.
I would think so. I would think that you could really do better, but, you know, I think he just really wasn't into it and kind of just wanted to be done, you know?
Yeah, but fair enough.
He was the only one, though.
Thank you, my love.
You're welcome. I really had a great time talking to you, and thanks for the insight on the other thing before we started. And,
no worries. Thank you. And I'm sure you'll hear about how that turns out.
I will, definitely.
Thanks again for your time, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, bye-bye.